Welcome to episode 6 of Practical Defense, Appearances. Welcome back to another episode of Practical Defense. I'm your host, Alex Haddix. This week, we're closing up our discussions on travel safety. And our final topic for this area is appearances. And what I mean by this is that we want to know what to wear, what not to wear, and what to carry. And at the end, I'll also talk a little bit about the customs areas that we have to go through when we travel internationally. Now again, and I've said this before, but it is an unfortunate reality that tourists are targets, and this series of episodes has been about reducing your vulnerability when you're traveling. And the idea is how not to invite trouble or tempt predators. And by adopting a few simple habits and always maintaining your awareness, you can increase your chances of having a really good and safe trip. So one of the most important things about not tempting people is appearances. So we'll start with what you should not wear, things that will draw attention to yourself when you're traveling and things that will, you know, bring you to the attention and tempt the predators. What you want to do is you want to meld into the crowd. You want to disappear into the masses of bodies. You know, the sights are just as beautiful and the food is just as tasty whether you're wearing a loud Hawaiian shirt or just a plain golf shirt or polo type shirt. Loud, obvious, and foreign looking attire screams that you're an outsider and it draws attention to you. And along these lines, and something that's just important, is to leave all your jewelry at home. And this even means the fake stuff, because whether it's real or it's fake, I mean, the reason why you wear it's fake is because it looks real, right? So a criminal or a purse snatcher or pickpocket is going to see that, and it's going to draw them to you. They're going to say, hey, this person's got a lot of money, and they've got some nice stuff that's right there on top of the body, and I can, you know, snatch it. I can rip it off. So you may know only it's worth a couple of bucks, but the thug who's just dislocated your shoulder trying to rip that expensive-looking watch from your arm won't realize that until you're already on your way to the hospital. So what this means is, quite simply, is that there are no big necklaces, no big bracelets, no rings, no fancy-looking watches, even if it's a knockoff. And my wife, when we travel, she even leaves her engagement ring at home. So along these lines, also, what you don't want to do is, in addition to the jewelry, you do not want to use expensive luggage and expensive carry-on bags with big labels. You know, I'm on my last trip, I'm looking around, pointing out to my wife, saying, look at all the Louis Vuitton stuff, which is a very, very trendy and very expensive bag right now. She said, well, they're probably all knockoffs. It doesn't matter, because it looks like a Louis Vuitton bag, which is why they purchased it, and they're expensive. And they were everywhere. And so all it does is scream money. And what does that do? That makes people believe that you have money and that you have expensive things in your bags. So the criminal will want to take them. So the big question here is, who are you trying to impress? This is luggage. So, I mean, are you trying to impress the airport baggage handler? The cabbie? The hotel porter? How about the other travelers at the airport that you've never met before and are never going to meet again? Who cares? Just all you're doing is advertising that you have money and that will mark you as a target for predators. So along these lines, you don't want to carry your laptop in an obvious laptop carrying bags with a big Sony, big HP, or Dell logo on the side of it. What you want to do is you want to carry your laptop in a nondescript, aftermarket, no-named case, or in a laptop backpack. And the less that your laptop case looks like a laptop case, the better it is. But, you know, I can already hear the business travelers complaining, hey, but I need to look good for my customer visit. Well, if you're traveling on business and you need a nice briefcase or need a nice handbag for a meeting, pack those things. Put those things in your nondescript checked luggage, and then when you're at your hotel and you're getting ready for the meeting and you're putting on your nice clothes, pull out your nice accessories then. But you don't need to walk around with them through the airports and through the hotel lobby and while you're out and about. So let's talk about now what you should wear. And there are a couple of very important items that you need to have with you at all times, starting from the point when you leave your front door. And the first thing is a good pair of shoes. Now, when I travel, I look around and I see all sorts of different types of footwear that some people wear, and some stuff that really doesn't even qualify as footwear. The question you have to ask is, what if something happens on the plane, the bus, the taxi, or wherever you are, and you need to move quickly? Footwear, good pair of shoes, is absolutely essential. Flip-flops, open-toed sandals, high-heel shoes are going to get you nowhere. What you want is a solid pair of athletic shoes or hiking boots. I even have a couple of friends who work in the security area, and they wear their combat boots when they're on planes. And the thing is, though, it's not just do you have to run, do you have to move, but what if there's an accident? What if you get into a car crash and there's debris on the ground? You know, broken glass, pieces of metal, things like that. If you're wearing a pair of open-toed sandals that may have even fallen off during the impact, what are you going to do? You can't walk across that. Or if you have to walk across that, you're going to completely shred your feet. The next thing you want is a good travel pen. And I know this is going to raise a few eyebrows, but hear me out on this one. First, and the most innocuous thing, is that when you travel, especially internationally, is that you're going to complete about a billion forms. And when they hand out the forms, they never provide a writing instrument. So, personally, I carry a Fisher Space Pen. And what about this thing is, it's really good. I mean, it's sturdy, it's lightweight, it can write at odd angles, even upside down, doesn't leak, and it writes over grease. And trust me, writing at odd angles is enough of a selling point when you're standing in line trying to complete custom forms with one hand. And the other thing about these is that they're very sturdy. You can get them in all sorts of different types of materials, from steel to titanium, and they can compress down very, very small, or you can get a standard size one. And what I do is I carry it in my shirt pocket, or if I don't have a shirt pocket, I just clip it to the collar of my shirt. And at security checkpoints, I just toss it in with my watch and keys and belt for scanning, and it's never been a problem. Now, the secret of a good solid pen is that it can also be used as a last-ditch defensive weapon. And again, I like the Fisher Space Pen for this, because they come again in steel and titanium bodies. Now, a good solid pen can be used as a makeshift Kubaton. And for those who don't know what a Kubaton is, it's a cylinder about 6 inches long and about half inch in diameter. And it's usually made from hardwood, hardened plastic, or even aircraft aluminum. And what you do is you hold it in your clenched fist, and it's used to reinforce punches so that your hand becomes a harder object. And it also sticks out a little ways from either end. And you can use that to strike pressure points or restrain someone during a takedown. Now, here's a disclaimer. If you ever intend to use a pen as a Kubaton type weapon, seek professional instruction in Kubaton usage. And I can't stress this enough. Seek professional training in any weapon you intend to carry or use. And I'll actually discuss weapons in a future episode and talk about the Kubaton. So if you want to check out the Fisher Space Pens, you can download them. You can go to the website and download information about them, or even order them online at spacepen.com. Another must-have item is a passport organizer, or sometimes it's called a convention wallet. And what this is a flat, folding wallet with an integrated lanyard, and it hangs from your neck, and you tuck it underneath your shirt. And what it does is it stores your passport, any extra money, some custom forms, and any other documents like immunization documents. And it's really hard to lose something that's hanging around your neck and tucked into your shirt. and I use it whenever I travel internationally. And of course, in a previous episode, we discussed the importance of not losing your passport. So instead of just carrying your passport in your pocket, you know, in your shirt pocket, in your pants pocket, in your bag, all these things that can be lifted or stolen, hang it around your neck, close to your body. It's going to be very, very hard to get access to for somebody else. For you, easy access. So now that we're dressed appropriately in nondescript attire, in using plain, durable luggage, in our carry-on bags, we're wearing good shoes, we have our trusty pen, we can head out into the world with a bit more confidence. And before we close, I wanted also to take a moment to talk about customs areas. I know it sounds a little mundane, but I have seen more trouble from people that people get into when traveling in the customs area than any place else. And, you know, international travel can be a pain. And sometimes you just breeze through customs, and, you know, other times it can be a slow march through hell. But I have almost always found customs agents to be polite and friendly. And conversely, I have also seen them get really ugly and very, very short with people. And the difference between the two? Simply obeying the rules. Now, agents are really more than willing to answer any questions that you might have. And so rather than do something wrong and, you know, incur their wrath, just ask a question. Just ask what you should do. And I've never witnessed or heard of an agent getting mad at someone for asking a question. And the thing here is that what you need to do is just follow directions. There are signs everywhere. They're easy to understand. And if you're traveling in a country where you don't speak the language, the signs are almost always in English in addition to the local language. And then they're even surrounded by universal symbols with, you know, the big circles and crosses with something that's pretty generic. And, you know, if the sign says, stand behind the yellow line and wait to be called forward, just stand behind the yellow line and wait to be called forward. It really is that simple. But I see time and time again people not paying attention. They're talking to their friends. They're you know, their heads are in the clouds. They're worried about their flight. And they just fail to comply. And, you know, the agents may start out in the morning, very, very patient people, the most patient people in the world. But by the time you're reaching your end of the shift and you're at your 1,000th person who has forgotten and has just come up and is standing right behind the person in front of them, that's going to make anybody upset. So pay attention, read the signs. And the next biggest thing I've seen that's caused trouble, do not use cameras or cell phones in the customs area. Simple as that. Now, the customs area, this is where I think some people get confused. The customs area starts from the time that you step off the plane until all the way through you pick up your bags the second time after being inspected, because there are three areas. You have the area that when you first come up off the plane and they check your passport. Then after they check your passport, then you go pick up your luggage. You're still in the customs area. You have your luggage, but you're still in the customs area. From there, you move to the baggage inspection. Once your bag's been inspected and you've been passed, you then go through another area. You go through another doorway or whatever, and there's usually a big line drawn on the ground that says this is the end of the customs area. From the time you leave your plane until you pass that final line after your bags have been inspected, that's the customs area. So you cannot use your cell phone and you cannot use your camera, video camera, or any recording device in that area. Now, if they see you, they're going to get mad. And they're going to even, a lot of times, especially for cameras, just confiscate it. What they don't want you doing is they don't want you taking pictures. They don't want you calling out details of where security guards are placed or where this, say, hey, you know, this guard over here looks like he's kind of fallen asleep. So that would be the safe area to, you know, smuggle whatever it is in. They also don't want you recording where the one-way mirrors are, where the one-way glass is and which direction it's pointed and what types of dogs they're using and, you know, stuff like that. So it's all about security. They don't want people smuggling stuff in. They don't want terrorists coming through. They don't want any of that stuff. And the agents, they can care less if you're just letting grandma know that you landed safely, or that you're on your way to your business meeting, or that you're returning a phone call from your boss and it's absolutely urgent. They don't care. They don't know you. They don't care what you're doing. They just know that you're not supposed to be using it. I have personally seen people yelled at for using cell phones, and I've even heard secondhand of an agent drawing his gun on a man who ignored a direct command to end his cell phone call immediately. So, it's serious. And also pictures. Why take pictures in a dirty, dingy, ugly customs baggage claim area? I mean, sure, it's the first time you've been in the country, but you're going to be in the country for hours, days, or weeks. You don't need to record the first, 5 minutes in probably the ugliest place that you're going to be seen. And on this last trip that I went on, I personally witnessed a woman having her camera confiscated for taking pictures of her husband and her daughter in the customs area. We were in the British Virgin Islands, and sure, it was nice and it was sunny, and it was an outdoor baggage claim area and things like that. But, the woman said, hey, line up her husband and her daughter over on the one area, and then she went to take a picture. The agent walked up behind her, reached around, put her hand over the lens, and just took the camera right out of her hands. And I remember her repeatedly asking if she was going to get her camera returned, but the agent never responded and just walked away. And I have no idea if the camera was ever returned. But it would really suck to start your trip out by having your camera confiscated by a customs agent. So, no cameras, no cell phones. Another thing you can do when you interact with the customs agents is to just smile. So, think about all of the tired, grumpy, rushing, jet-lagged passengers that these agents have to deal with every hour. A simple, friendly, cheerful smile can do worlds to make their day better and get you moving along faster. Conversely, if you are a condescending, grumpy pants, they might take more time to scrutinize you. So, for good measure, you might also want to say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, to the overworked, underpaid, underappreciated officers with the loaded guns. It was just a thought. I know all this sounds overly simplistic and plain common sense, but I have seen a huge number of people fail to engage their brains, and consequently, they started off their holidays poorly, and it really kind of put a damper on the whole event. Holidays should be fun. They should be enjoyable. That's why you're doing them. You're going out on vacation. So don't start your holidays off badly. Start them off with the right attitude, obeying the rules, and have a good time. So, in summary, what we have is, don't wear clothing that will attract attention to yourself. You want to wear common, everyday functional clothing when you travel. You don't want to wear jewelry, even fake jewelry, for the same reason. It will attract attention to yourself. So leave all the flashy stuff at home. And again, you don't want to use expensive, trendy bags or luggage. You don't want to advertise that you're carrying expensive things. You just want to meld into the crowd. You want to wear durable, comfortable shoes. And this means no sandals, no dress shoes, no heels. If you need to move quickly over uneven terrain or even rocks or broken glass or something like that, you need good shoes for that. You want to invest in a good multi-purpose pen and keep it on your person at all times, whether you're going through customs and filling out all those forms, on the plane, or even just out and about town. You want to also invest in a passport organizer. They're about $20. It's not a big deal, but it will keep your passport secured and against your body and under your clothing when you're not using it immediately. And this makes it very hard to lose or steal your passport. And the last thing, just pay attention to the customs areas. Don't use your cameras, don't use your cell phones. And you're in the customs area from the time you step off your plane until the time you pass the final luggage inspection area and cross that line. Well, that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions and commentary, send an email to podcast@alexhaddix.com. That's podcast@alexhaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexhaddix.com. Until next time, stay aware and stay safe.
cloud.